Derek, your Pittsburgh Penguins 2016-17 Stanley Cup champions.
Why the hell are they my Pittsburgh Penguins?
You're an NHL fan. Don't they now represent you? Aren't they like your leader?
No. No, they're not.
Isn't Sidney Crosby now your favorite player?
No, not at all.
So tell me how you feel about the Pittsburgh Penguins at the top of the National Hockey League.
This is not an explicit rated podcast, so I don't know if I can really do that, Mike.
Okay.
I mean, look, I don't even want to say it was a good series because I don't know that it was. Like, it was entertaining at times, but honestly, the officiating took me so out of it, particularly in that decisive Game 6, waving off that goal for a quick whistle where the ref was out of position. It took me out of it, Mike, and I really couldn't be but so happy for the team that won the Penguins because, one, I don't really want to like the Penguins, but even though Hainsey and Cullen got to skate with the Cup and good on both of them, I really wasn't that thrilled with it, Mike.
Well, you know, there was not a single good game in the entire final series. That said,
as I would argue the last game was, well, the last game was a tight game. I don't know that it was a good game.
Exactly.
Yeah, you're right.
I think it was a good series, though. There was definitely ebbs and flows. There were storylines. There were back and forth. There was, are the Pittsburgh Penguins going to be too much to conquer? And then is Nashville's home ice advantage going to be able to overcome? And Pekka Rinne is, again, back on top of his game. And then 6-0 happened. And then you have the NHL doing what it does so well, which is basically blowing what could be the seminal moment of a season and turning it into something about the greatest players not on the ice, sort of.
It just wasn't enjoyable, and I hate the fact that a series with all the eyeballs on it, like the final, comes down to officiating when you should have the best linesmen, the best referees on the ice, and they're out of position like they were in Game 6. I hate that that is one of the main talking points. I mean, I guess congrats to Pittsburgh. They are a damn good team. But
I would say they're better than a damn good team. I would say they're a great team. They're the only team not named the Boston Bruins to win out of the Eastern Conference since the Carolina Hurricanes last lifted the Stanley Cup.
Hmm. Damn.
Yeah, yeah. It has been the Pittsburgh Penguins owning the Eastern Conference and owning the Eastern Conference's representation out east.
Huh. I'll be damned. I hadn't thought of it in that way, Mike, but I really would have been curious to see how that series would have been different if Chris Letang were playing, if Ryan Johansson were playing. Like, it sucks that the grind that is the NHL playoffs a lot of times takes some of the best players off the ice for the most pivotal, and I use that word as unironically as possible, the most pivotal of games.
It was, again, I agree with you that it was a good series. It was an exciting National Hockey League playoffs. Nashville obviously kind of caught the world by storm. The Eastern Conference was an absolute crap show outside of the Pittsburgh-Washington series.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you look at Ottawa versus Boston, I mean, I think what the world learned is Guy Boucher has a certain coaching style. He sticks to it. And while it is horribly uninteresting, it is effective. Hopefully the National Hockey League's lesser teams do not adopt that. They also learned that Erik Karlsson is good at the hockeys.
I don't know that he's Conn Smythe vote good. You saw that, right?
Yeah, he got a Conn Smythe. P.K. Subban got a Conn Smythe vote.
Look, when you get to the guys that make the final, I can see damn near anybody. Not Pekka Rinne, of course, but the last thing I really can think of to say on the final, because it's done and I'm glad we're moving on to the offseason, was it was great to see the Nashville fans embrace it, get into it, get hated on by Pittsburgh because they're passionate and loud and rowdy and excited to be in a situation like that for the first time. Like, good on Nashville's fans. I think any casual observer of a Stanley Cup final game would much rather watch one that has the energy of the Bridgestone Arena versus the energy of the PPG Paint Primer All-in-One Arena.
Yeah, Nashville was everything we had hoped it would be. The series was everything we hoped it would not be. And at the end of the day, again, I think as I look back on this season, I think this cements Sidney Crosby's position over the last 10 years as being not only the best hockey player of this generation, but finally being able to fulfill a dynasty. The fact that he now has three Stanley Cups, 2009, 2016, and 2017, in what was an era of somewhat dynasties. I mean, you look in there, there was two wins by the Los Angeles Kings. There is two wins by the Chicago Blackhawks. Those are very, very good teams that, and you know, interesting point on all of that, we haven't seen Chicago versus Pittsburgh yet. You know, if you want to talk outcome of series equals completely incorrigible fans, put Chicago versus Pittsburgh together.
No, don't, please.
Yeah. It's
well, thankfully Chicago has to keep hemorrhaging players due to their salary cap.
Yeah, we're going to talk through that as we talk through what is going to be a very interesting next couple of weeks in the National Hockey League hockey season.
Mike, I am excited as hell for this.
Oh, as am I. But again, we would be remiss if we did not say congratulations to former Carolina Hurricane and just all around generally good guy. Not great guy. Not a great skater. Not a great passer. Not a great shooter. Ended up playing a lot of minutes, though, and being a really smart pickup by Jim Rutherford was Ron Hainsey. And Matt Cullen, the ageless, timeless, dare I say, beautiful wonder.
He still had 31 points this season, Mike.
My God, I could swim in the deep blue ocean that is his eyes.
He's out there killing penalties at age 40 and doing it damn well.
There's less than 90 seconds left in the final. And who's taking the draw on the ice? Matt Cullen. You have Sidney Crosby as a center. You have Evgeny Malkin as a center. And when the most important time of the game is coming, Matt Cullen is still on the ice. 40-year-old.
Love it. Love Matt Cullen.
Beautiful. Just luscious, flowing St. Cloud State hair.
Mike, do I need to get you like a bib or something? You're beginning to drool on yourself.
Maddie.
At least get
Maddie.
You a fan or something. Cool off. Good God. Mike, do we need to get to the rest of the show? Let the folks know what we're talking about today so you can compose yourself and we can actually put this together for people?
Grant McCagg, editor and head scouting guru over at recruits.ca would probably be slightly embarrassed by this show of love. And we know Mike Foreman, I think Mike Foreman,
no, he gets it.
Director of marketing for the Carolina Hurricanes, who's also going to be on tonight's podcast, gets it. So, you know, I'm okay. I'm in touch with my emotions.
That's good. No, I mean, being in touch with your emotions is good. I just don't want you to get too lost in your feels that we can't move on with the show tonight. That's all. That's all. I'm just trying to balance it out.
There's only one thing stopping us from moving on.
What's that?
You're going to hit that damn X button.
Yeah, man.
Welcome to the Cheaters Never Win podcast, another fine product of Section 328.com. Here you'll find all the Hurricanes hockey talk, adult beverage reviews, and snark a growing body needs. Follow us on Twitter at Section_328. Respect the underscore. And now back to Derek and Mike.
Thank you, Mr. Mentor, voice of your PNC Arena, Carolina Hurricanes. And thank you to Sports Channel 8 for allowing us to be part of the Sports Channel 8 podcast family.
Weep!
Wee! Great show for you guys today. We're really excited to be here. This is going to be our last podcast prior to the entire Section 328 team heading up to Chicago to cover this National Hockey League entry draft. And part of that is made possible by you, our loyal listeners, who continue to fund not only our website, but all of our endeavors as we continue to try to bring you better. Not the best. We know we're not the best, but
always striving to be better.
Always striving to be better. Carolina Hurricanes coverage, whether it be this podcast or all of the writing we do from time to time over at section328.com. And how do you support us? You support us in a couple of ways. You go to section328.com, you read the articles, which is nice because that allows us to then say to people who might want to advertise on this podcast or on our website, hey, look at all the people who are going to see your stuff. But more importantly, when you're on the site, you see that big button. What's that big button say again, Derek?
There's actually two big buttons, Mike.
Two buttons?
There's two buttons at the very top of the page.
Is there a microphone there?
I think so.
I was going to say Beck might be disappointed, but anyway, go ahead.
There is one big button that says support us on Patreon.
Uh-huh. What does that button do, Derek?
That takes you over to our Patreon page where if you are generous enough to give us $1, $5, $10, $20, $100 a month, if you truly love this podcast, you can support us and all the things that Mike mentioned earlier. But we have some great rewards. They are listed out on our Patreon site. They may have been revamped already. I won't get into the details too much. I'm going to promote that more during the season. But if you're so inclined, go to section328.com, click the Patreon button, see what rewards are there. And I'll give you a little hint. And Mike, this may lead into the other way. There's a lot of new stuff we have on Amazon,
yeah,
and that may be involved in our new Patreon rewards.
And you mentioned a $100 sponsorship level. Yes, that is crazy, but that's actually
more of a corporate level.
That is more of a corporate sponsorship level where you actually get to become the sponsor of Cheaters Never Win. Hell, for that money, we might make you the sponsor of our sister podcast, Cheaters Never Pin, too. Who knows? But that other button that you mentioned and all of the Amazon stuff is shop on Amazon. And that actually won't cost you an additional dollar if you go to Amazon and you buy something. Of course, you have to pay with your hard-earned American dollars. But
they take Canadian dollars, too.
They also do. But if you, before you go to Amazon, if from Section 328 you click on that shop on Amazon button, a couple of pennies out of your purchase will end up in the Section 328 coffers, and that will allow us to do things like continue to bring you this podcast in not only the best quality, but will allow us to provide you the website, the content, and allow us to take care of our writers and other folks who are part of this, whether that be at Canes Prospects or whether that be at Canalytics or everybody's favorite wordsmith of 3,000 words or more, Mr. Workrate, or some of our latest additions, some of the new voices. Love and Hydrogen, you may know her as Meg Palmer. She is a very good knitter, and she has great, great views on hockey. And all of the folks who we are very fortunate enough to be here. So we use this not only to fund this podcast and the website and all of the hosting and everything that goes along with all of those things, but also to try to take care of all of the great folks who we are fortunate enough to not only call staff, but friends.
I think that's really, really well said. The last thing I will add to that.
Keep adding, Derek.
Hey, Mike, guess how many shirts we have available on Amazon.com?
Oh, how many shirts do we have available on Amazon.com,
We have
Derek?
10.
10 pieces
designs.
Of merch.
So,
merch. Buy the
so yeah, if you click on through to Amazon, search for Section 328, you will see 10 different designs of t-shirts.
And Ty Dillinger loves our current
He absolutely
merch.
Does, and there may be more before the season starts. So check it out. We'd love to hear your thoughts on it. If you like the shirts, if you have been nice enough to be one of the dozens, like our buddy Al on Twitter, or Dan, or Matt, or Ben, who has told us this week that they have bought our shirts, they've worn them to Disney World, leave us a review on Amazon. We would absolutely love it, and thank you for that.
And thank you guys, as always, for listening. We do appreciate it. We continue to try to bring you great content like this. Very good National Hockey League scout. And folks, we are welcoming back to the podcast one of our absolute favorite prospect and draft experts, Grant McHagg from recruits.ca. That is recruts. If you do not have your subscription yet, what are you thinking? Grant, tell the good folks about what they're missing by not having checked out recruits.ca today.
Oh, you don't have listeners that haven't checked it out, do you?
I would hope not.
There may be as many as three, so let's make them feel really bad.
Okay. Well, okay, for those three. Yeah. What of your seven listeners or?
Ooh. Oh, hopefully. Oh, coming strong from the Great White North.
Surely it's more than a dozen anyways. Yeah, well, listen, it's I've got lots of great NHL connections. I haven't been an NHL scout. I like to think of myself as not just a scout, but a draft journalist. You know, I get their input in large doses. Like I'm in touch with one particular head scout almost daily. You know, we're really good friends, and other crossover scouts, which are scouts that, you know, that cross over to other leagues, go to the under-18s and the U-20s and go all over, you know, they go all over the globe there to see all the top prospects, the senior scouts on staffs, and I have their ears, and they you know, they give me lots of great quotes that I put in all the profiles that people can read that I don't think anyone else provides.
Yeah,
you know, on top of my.
It's okay, go ahead. I was going to say, that's absolutely one of our favorite features over on recruits.ca is the fact of when you go and you check out a bio and a profile of one of the players, you actually have stuff from the scouts, and it's not just the hype the first week leading up into the draft. It's a year's worth of comments on these guys, and it's great. And as we're sitting here looking at the recruits.ca draft guide, Grant, yours looks a little bit different. I think A, the graphic design quality of this is top notch, but B, at the top of your draft board, you've got Miro Heiskanen, defenseman, where just about everybody else is throwing one of the two centers up there. I'd love to get your take on why you think New Jersey is going to go D first in this draft.
Yeah, well, I have, you know, I officially ranked number one, but for the mock draft purposes, you know, I just don't see why New Jersey is going to pick for the fourth straight year a centerman in the first round. When they picked, you know, Quenneville 3 years ago, top seven, they picked Zach after that, and then last year McLeod at 12. Well, do you have to pick another, you know, how many top two centermen can you, do you need when you've got just a glaring need on defense with, there's no top two defensemen in the system at all, you know, whatsoever. I think Mike McLeod's going to stand a lot better chance of being a first line center than anyone, any defenseman in their, farm system, you know, stand a chance of being a top two defenseman. So, you know, do you draft a fourth center that's going to fight for your top two, or do you draft the franchise defenseman that's going to be your number one? And, you know, back in the day when they won three cups, they did it without a high-end legitimate mm-hmm. number one center. They had the defenseman. That's what, you know, they had the goalie and they had the defense. Well, you know, there have been comparisons to Niedermeyer with Heiskanen. I've also heard Lidstrom comparisons. Just such a great skater that just is so so poised and smart. There's no flaws in his game. Like, this guy's the real deal. He's going to be he floored scouts at the under-18s with his performance. I mean, he'd been, you know, it had been building all year, and I mean, when I watched him in the Finnish men's league, he was, you know, poised and really good there already. But then against his peers at the end of the year, it was just third highest point total ever for a defenseman, while, you know, just doing it all both ends of the ice and making it look easy. So I think he's still underrated in a lot of people's minds, and there are certainly scouts that now legitimately think that he could be the best player in the draft. So I, when you factor in all those things, I mean, you know, before the draft lottery, they didn't stand a chance of getting the Heiskanen. Now, well, while they're first, well, geez, you know, pick the picked the center well. I mean,
yeah.
If I was them, I would go with the defenseman and not look back, you know, and not regret it. And there's a darn good chance that, I mean, I really like Hishe a ton and Patrick as well, but you know, they're not McDavid's, and I don't know that they'll be any better than Heiskanen. And he's, you know, he fills the need that they you don't get a chance at a number one defenseman very often, you know. Mm-hmm. He's going to be a franchise number one, I think.
Well, I certainly hope the good people in New Jersey are not smart enough to make that selection based on how you have sold him. I also hope the good people in Philly do not take that advice either, because we don't need another good defenseman in the Metropolitan Division against us. you know, coming down to 12, I'd love to hear your thoughts on a couple names that Canes fans should keep an eye on. If there's one guy in particular, I'll let you say the name that's in your mock or in your draft guide if you wish. And is there any chance that there's a guy that's, you know, a top 5 to 8 prospect that falls suddenly on draft day to the surprise of nearly everyone that maybe at 12 are going, oh boy, we can get blank?
Well, it's kind of funny that I've been working on, I've been going in alphabetical order. I'm doing a draft shopping list of, you know, on each team, what their organizational needs are as far as prospects and who they, who might be there and who they may look at in the draft. And actually, I've just been working on Carolina's. I'm going to post it, seeing that this is going to run in the, you know, tomorrow, Wednesday morning. I'm going to post it at that time so people can go to recruits and have a look at Carolina's. It'll be the first. It'll be right up on the homepage for everyone to peruse. So I don't know if I want to give away too much about it, but I'll. I think Mittelstadt might draw, and he'd be kind of an intriguing player to look at 12 for Carolina. You know, there's a lot of ability there, and you know, I mean, there some question marks have crept in, but I do believe that that might be a really nice fit for the Canes if he does indeed drop to that point. I also think, you know, I have Robert Thomas in my top 10, but he may well be there at 12, and I think he'd just be within a year he'd be you know, playing for the Canes and perhaps be a top two centerman within a year or two on the team. I think he's a can't miss. Just love so much about his game. Nick Suzuki is a player, obviously, that you know, I have pegged in the mock draft going to Carolina, so I also think that he's a definite possibility at 12. It, you know, I mean, when you do a mock draft, you have to peg one guy to go to each team, right? So, and I mean, you're lucky if you hit 20% on that. So certainly there's, you know, 4 or 5 guys that definitely I think will be in the mix at 12. Perhaps even Owen Tippett is someone that if he drops to there, they look at, although I've been a little bit, I mean, you picked Gauthier last year and I find him to be a bit one-dimensional. You know, he's a goal scorer. That's great. But defensive end of the game and other things I have some issues with, and Tippett's the same type of player for me. So I don't know that you need a kind of a carbon copy in that regard, you know, that there are better options there where, you know, would complement the existing lineup a little better. And certainly also, I think, you know, given two prospects that have similar value, similar, you know, as far as where they end up in the draft, if they're similar upside wise, you go with the centerman. There's just so much more value there. So that's why I think, you know, guys like Thomas and Mittelstadt would be the main targets, and Suzuki. I think Suzuki could play center if you wanted to, you know, to switch him to center in the future. He's just so smart that I think he can play any forward position that you ask him to. So those would be the main you know, and of course, they possibly look at Pettersson as well and Nekas. So I don't think they're going wrong with whoever they choose at 12. There's a bunch of forwards that are going to be, you know, in that range, and whichever they think is the best one that drops, well, they'll take them, and they'll be getting a forward with definitely with top six upside.
Well, I know we're really excited to see the name that Tony McDonald strolls to the mic and calls next Friday night in Chicago. And the Hurricanes made some promotions and some announcements, and I'd love to get your take, Grant, as someone who is a so closely tied to the NHL scouting community. The Hurricanes traditionally had been one of the most understaffed scouting groups across the league. And now Ron Francis has built out not only a great team, it seems like, under Tony McDonald, but really elevated some guys across the globe. Robert Kron, now the head of European scouting. You've got Joni Pitkinen and some really good former players that are advising all of these scouts. And I'd like to get your take on kind of just overall, what's your view of the strides the Canes scouting department has made, say, from 2006 when we were a league low six scouts across the globe to where we stand now?
To be honest with you, I don't really, you know, I'm not really up on scouting staffs per se as to who all's with, you know, each team and stuff. I mean, I have my group of guys that I deal with, but as far as knowing who, you know, who are good scouts and who has added a bunch of guys and stuff, I'm not really, I wouldn't say that I'm a great person to ask that.
Nope. We understand. You're keeping your secrets. You're a made man, and you're not sharing your confidential sources. We get it. It's okay. Fort Knox Francis, I mean, has his ways. We get it.
I'm sure Robert Kron and Joni Pitkinen are fine scouts. But I don't honestly know. You know, I mean, you know, not every former NHL player, you know, is a good scout. I mean, that, you know,
and not everyone's a good coach too.
That's right. Not every scout's a good player. You know, I mean, I
do know that you are the perfect guy to ask about this, Grant. Saw you tweeted it today, and we've seen it on recruits.ca. Heard you might know a way that someone who loves the NHL draft or just loves the chance to win $300 could win $300. How could somebody do that?
Well, I'd have to clarify it. It'd be 300 Canadian, so it wouldn't quite be.
So I don't know the exchange rate, but it's still significantly more than zero.
It'd be over 250, I guess. I've got a draft pool that I've had up for over a month, and it's been a little slow getting going. I think people have been waiting for the combine and the season to end and the draft order to be final, and all the draft lists being out. But it's $5 Canadian, which is about $4 in the US to put in an entry, and you can put in as many as you want, and you get to select from the top 31 and try to guess the draft order as best you can, and the person that comes the closest will win 300 Canadian. So
that is a lot of fun. I know Derek and I will both be submitting losing brackets. We understand that our very own at Canes Prospects, Pat Clark, may not be able to participate, but that's okay. We have Pat's phone number, and we'll call him, and he can help us out. But in all seriousness, guys, if you have not been to recruits.ca, it is a definite investment worth your American and or Canadian dollars. To spend a couple of bucks to Grant and his team that are putting together not only a phenomenal draft guide, but this awesome pool and really just consistent levels of data that we are going to literally on a daily basis to learn more as we prepare for the draft coming up next week in the beautiful city of Chicago. So Grant, we thank you so much for your time, sir. We know this is your busiest time of year, and we can't say thank you enough for taking a few minutes out of your day to talk to the Canes.
Yeah, well, thank you guys, and I just I meant to get in there, like you had mentioned, how well designed the draft guide is. And well, I mean, when it's done by what I assume is a North Carolinian, then, you know, what more can you ask for? So
yeah, those of you who have the draft guide, you might want to check out page 2, section 328's owns Pat Clark, maybe the graphic designer of choice of recruits.ca. Grant, you're a phenomenal gentleman, sir. We appreciate it. Best of luck to you over the next couple of weeks and what I'm sure is going to be 1 or 10,000 interviews. We'll talk to you soon, man.
Thanks.
Thank you. Grant McCagg, recruits.ca. That guy has forgotten more hockey than you and I combined will ever know.
Also didn't realize how much of a ball breaker he is.
Yeah, 12 listeners? Jesus. If our 13th plus extra listeners would please go over to Twitter and go to @GrantMcCagg and tell him, hey, we really appreciated you being on Cheaters Never Win. You know, if more than 13 people say thank you to Grant, we can then go back to Grant and basically just send him a nonstop series of Degeneration X just groin chop gifs. Because that's what we're going to do.
I mean, it was good. It was totally unexpected because I know how good Grant is at what he does. And I'm like, man, out of the gate with heat. But I liked it. Apparently, he listens to the program and knows who we are.
Yes. So, again, don't give Grant heck. But what we would ask you to do is just reach out to Grant and say, hey, thanks. And even more, if you do enjoy prospect coverage, non-biased, his site is absolutely phenomenal. We're a big fan of supporting independent hockey sites. And Grant's doing a great job out there with providing year-round prospect coverage.
I think that's one of the things that, you know, we love having Pat as a friend and on the 328 staff for this reason is it's easy in the midst of the season to forget about prospects, and it really is a year-round thing. And you know, the guys who may be in the top 10 you know, for this year, they go, well, who's gonna be the top 10 for the 2018 draft? And then it's a complete, you know, 8 of the 10 fall out because things happen throughout the course of the year, and you want to see how guys develop. It is really interesting to follow. So yes, it's really popular right now, but it's well worth reading in November too.
Right. And you know, obviously a guy like Grant is going to be a little bit different than some of the other voices you hear on this podcast. For example, Mark Seidel. Mark Seidel, huge, huge fan of Julien Gauthier. Grant McCagg, feels like he's a little bit one-sided.
Yeah.
Jeff Merrick, huge fan of Julien Gauthier. Who's right? The guys who like Julien Gauthier, because that guy is going to be a beast. I'm not saying Grant's wrong, but he only thinks 12 people listen to this podcast.
So, you know, there's that.
Shade! No, but Derek, quick question for you.
Yes.
Who do the Carolina Hurricanes pick at 12 in this National Hockey League draft?
They don't.
Ooh, do tell.
We're not picking at 12, and I think we'll find that out in the next 4 days from recording. I don't think it's going to be a draft day deal. I think we're going to get something done before the Vegas team is announced on the 21st.
So we are recording on Tuesday night.
So maybe not the next 4 days, but before the Vegas team is announced, I think we will have a trade announced that we're packaging our first and some other trade fodder for a center.
So let's talk folks through, for those who may not have kept up, we're recording on Tuesday night. This should be published on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
The National Hockey League is still open for business, as are the Vegas Golden Knights. As of Friday, any players that were asked to waive their no movement clause need to either have accepted or rejected that ask, and that needs to be reported to the National Hockey League by Friday at 5 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
By Saturday, I want to say it's Saturday afternoon at some point, the expansion protected list must be submitted to the National Hockey League, and those lists will be public. And then Saturday night, I believe a movement freeze,
yep,
goes into effect for the National Hockey League. So any movement that's going to happen prior to the expansion draft is going to happen between basically now and close of business Saturday. And then there's going to be the shutdown. And then on Wednesday, as part of the National Hockey League awards banquet, we are going to see who was chosen by the Vegas Golden Knights, who has moved, and then all hell breaks loose.
You know what? I may have to revise my my thought because I forgot when the trade freeze was lifted. It's lifted the day before the draft. So once, like you just said, once Vegas announces their team and then there's that day before the draft for every team to make their moves, oh God, it's going to be all of the fun. And I am so glad that I've taken the day off of work so I can keep up with it. I may have to spring for the in-flight Wi-Fi for that hour and a half flight up to Midway just so I don't miss anything.
I really think that a lot of I disagree with you, Derek, a little bit. I think the moves are going to be made prior to Saturday because, again, a lot of the moves that are made with Vegas are going to be announced as part of or immediately following their expansion draft announcements. But I think the more interesting things are going to be teams that need to make moves to potentially get something for a guy not going to Vegas prior to Vegas having the opportunity to sign them. For example, let's take a look at your Western Conference champions, the Nashville Predators.
Mike, I don't know how many times as much as I'm not a Pittsburgh guy, I'm not a Western Conference guy. How the hell are they my Western Conference? I don't have the Western Conference.
Your Nashville Predators.
Okay, fine. We'll talk about this off the air.
There is going to be one of Callie Yarncroak, Austin Watson, Colin Wilson, or James Neal. That have to, or I'm sorry, three of those four are going to be left unprotected. A couple of those names are going to be guys who could get you, I would not call them substantial returns, but definitely can get you more than nothing.
And certainly guys you don't want to lose.
Well, you don't want to lose for nothing. You know, particularly, you know, Callie Yarncroak, good player. I don't think he's ever going to be better than a mid-six center in this league. He's definitely not first-line center material.
No.
He would make a great third-line center on this Carolina Hurricanes team.
Okay.
Yeah, he would be a nice fit as that three center, potentially.
Sure.
Assuming we could ever get a first-line center. That said, you don't want to lose that guy for nothing, because if Vegas takes him as part of the expansion draft, you've lost him for nothing. I'm sure David Poile, being the smart, bright National Hockey League general manager that he is, would prefer to trade him to a team to get maybe a third or a fourth round pick versus losing him for nothing. You know, if he can figure out who George McPhee with Vegas is going to take, for example, you know, maybe there's an opportunity to make a deal or two.
Okay, so here you go. Like, right now, as it stands, the Vegas Golden Knights have seven picks.
Seven.
In the NHL draft.
Seven.
By the time they get to Chicago, how many draft picks will Vegas have?
14.
I think that's a good number. I don't know the number I would have said, but you said 14, and I go, yeah. Yeah,
they will have a record-breaking number of picks, I believe. So, for example, I think they will have, at minimum, three first-round picks.
So, okay, we talked about this a little before we hit record tonight. They're probably going to get David Clarkson's rotting contract and a first from Columbus.
Correct.
Where do you think the other first comes from? Or do you have one? Or you just think it's probably going to happen and it might be from an unlikely spot?
Well, before today, I would have said Chicago. Because I think George McPhee may hold out a first round draft pick requirement in order to take the contract of the dying corpse that is Marcus Kruger. I don't know if he'll get that out of Stan Bowman, though. I think that it's more likely that he gets a second or a third round pick out of that. But you know, obviously Chicago is in dire, dire straits. The other interesting thing is the New York Rangers. New York Rangers, while still having a completely barren farm system, did not ask Dan Girardi nor Mark Stahl to waive their no trade clause to be part of this extension. So,
fun fact, our buddy Real Chris Cote on Twitter pointed out that Mark Stahl and Dan Girardi combined make more than the entire Carolina Hurricanes defense.
Is that good?
That is not good.
Okay, good. I just wanted to confirm. Thanks, Chris, for pointing that out. There's guys like that. There's folks who are in really, really bad spots.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I don't think it would take a first, but, I mean, don't we all assume that the first ever captain of the Vegas Golden Knights is Dustin Brown?
Oh, God, I forgot about that one. Yeah, I mean, that was all the speculation when
right.
when this whole expansion draft came into fruition. It's like, oh, well, yeah, Dustin Brown's going to be a Golden Knight.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be the first captain of the Golden Knight.
Yoikes.
Again, there's so much movement that's out there, though. I mean, you look at, you know, rumor has it that Mike Smith from the Arizona Coyotes is now the hot goaltending property.
Ha!
I mean, Mike Smith, good goaltender, as long as Sean Burke's his coach.
Sure.
Carolina Hurricanes currently have three starting goaltenders. Sort of.
No, we don't. We have one.
We have one, but we have three NHL-level goaltenders, sort of.
Yeah, okay.
All right, we have one
We're being a little fast and loose with the verbiage here this evening.
But does Ron Francis hold an extra card with the fact of there are teams out there who are potentially going to be looking for veteran National Hockey League backup goaltenders? For example, I don't know if you are familiar with this team, Derek, but they are currently your Stanley Cup champion, Pittsburgh Penguins.
I've heard of them.
They are not going to have a backup goaltender after the first pick of the expansion draft.
Because they're not rolling with Murray, and is it still, I don't know if Zatkoff is still there.
Marc-Andre Fleury has waived his no movement clause and basically has said he is going to Vegas. That is the first pick. We know it. And he has said, I only waive my no movement clause for Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to Vegas. We get it. That's cool. Very professional, and kudos to the Flower, by the way. Jim Rutherford's going to need to back up because I don't think they're rolling into the season with Murray and Zatkoff, because if Murray goes down in game one before that first series, I don't think we're talking about Sidney Crosby raising consecutive Stanley Cups.
Well, we already did.
We did, but you know what I'm saying.
A third one.
But, you know, if you've got a guy there, like, I don't know, who's a Jim Rutherford favorite, you know, who might have one season left in the tank?
I was with you till that part.
Yeah, I know. Jim Rutherford likes Cam Ward.
Hey, make it happen. Give us a fourth. I don't care.
A fifth. A sixth.
Kit Kat. Cold beer. Hell, give us a 12-pack of Icy Light.
Pipe and a pancake? Bong and a blunts?
Yes, I will take any of it. A bottle of 36?
Huh?
Cam Ward's wine?
Yeah, I got it.
I would appreciate him being traded for his own product.
I will trade you a case of 36 for Cam Ward and Tim Gleason. I love that idea. Love everything about it. But no, I mean, so Ron Francis holds cards. Ron Francis, when you think about the things as we move towards this National Hockey League expansion draft and NHL entry draft, there are three tokens. There are three pieces of power that a National Hockey League general manager can have. First are picks.
Check. We got them.
We have lots of them. We have them in excess. And we have, what, six in the first 100 or something?
Something like that, yeah.
Something crazy. Two, salary cap space.
Got it.
Got it in spades.
Mm-hmm.
Three, and quite possibly the most important chip of them all, young, cheap, up-and-coming National Hockey League ready defenseman.
Mm-hmm.
Not only do we have, as you so aptly pointed out, as mentioned by Chris Cote, great defense at a bargain basement price, but we have multiple first round picks. Hayden Fleury, Roland McEwen, Jake Bean, all sitting there ready, maybe, to take that next step.
Hell yeah.
So,
and Ron said he's open for business.
Right.
So let's see what the hell happens.
what does this team need? We need a first-round center, Derek.
Mm-hmm.
We need a first-line center.
I know what you meant.
By first-round center, that would assume we're making the first pick, and that would either be Nick Suzuki or Casey Mittelstadt, or Robert Thomas is the guy that...
I don't trust a guy with two first names.
Yeah, you never trust a guy with two first names. I mean, and I know he says that he's good, but mm-hmm. two first names.
Don't trust him.
You know, Dylan Larkin, I trust him because he's got two middle names.
Yeah.
Not two first names.
Don't trust a guy with two first names. Don't play poker with a guy who's named after a city. Just two good rules in life.
And never let a guy borrow your truck or your girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Ask me about that one off air.
And don't fight a land war in Asia. or go against a Sicilian when death is on the line.
Exactly.
These are just rules of life.
And Fort Knox Francis has chips.
Mm-hmm.
Things are going to happen. Things are going to happen that are going to frustrate, I fear, this fan base.
Ooh, fun Twitter days ahead.
I think we're going to lose one of our six defensemen. And I don't think we're going to lose Klaas Dahlbeck.
Stop it, Mike.
Murphy.
Let's cross this bridge when we get to it. Let's.
No, this is the last podcast.
No, but
Derek,
I want to stay happy, and I don't want to think about the fact that we might see probably trade Noah Hanifin, because that kills me. Because he's going to be so good.
This is the last podcast before we fly off to Chicago. We're going to do a podcast draft day. That will probably be focused on stuff completely different. We have to come to grips with this now, Derek.
No, Mike.
Noah Hanifin.
Damn it, no!
May be a member of the Buffalo Sabres the next time you and I are behind these mics. I said it. Noah Hanifin, Buffalo Sabre. Take it. Enjoy it.
No.
Roll it around.
No.
Feel it.
Ugh. Yeah. You know that hot mouth sensation before you have to Ralph?
Yeah,
that's going on right now.
It's not good.
I don't like it, Mike.
I don't like it either.
Give me some happy thoughts.
Ron Francis is going to offer sheet.
Oh, yeah.
Leon Draisaitl.
Oh, there we go.
Derek, what's happening?
Oh no, I'm better now.
Derek, what is that?
No, I'm better now. We're good.
Is that origami you're working on?
No, we're good. Okay, we're good, Mike. Let's move on.
Okay.
Let's talk about happy things. You said we're going to the draft, but you know, there's other folks, other Canes fans who are listening, probably are not going to Chicago. The majority of them. I hope there are some that are going to Chicago. If so, please hit us up. We'd love to meet up, say hello in Chicago. But if they're not, the draft's around the corner at the PNC Arena. It's a hell of a lot of fun, too.
It is, and we should probably, rather than you and I talk about it, we should probably talk to somebody who's putting together the whole damn party. And folks, we are super excited to have this next gentleman on the podcast. Derek, I don't know if we've ever had this gentleman on, and I think that's a miss on our part.
I believe it is. However, I think we may ask him enough questions where he may want this to be his only visit to the Cheaters Never Win podcast.
It very well may be. On the other end of the line, we have Director of Marketing for the Carolina Hurricanes, Mike Foreman. Mike, welcome to the friendly confines of the Cheaters Never Win podcast. How are you, sir?
Thanks for having me, guys. It only took about 3.5 years, but here we are.
Hey, you know, once you finally get rid of the dead weight over there in the marketing department, we're not going to say who we're talking about, but his initials are Doug Worf. You know, you can finally come out from behind the scenes and take all of the glory that you rightfully deserve, and we're excited for you to be here. So, Mike, first question, and we're going to try to be really sensitive to this. Will you describe for us in detail exactly what's going to be on the new Carolina Hurricanes sweaters that Adidas is putting out this upcoming Tuesday?
Perfect. If everyone takes out their notepads, they'll find
exactly.
Element.
You can't share that, but if you could, can you maybe share a little bit of the process that went into the conversations with Adidas for the new sweater and what Canes fans should really become excited for the jersey reveal in Las Vegas at the NHL Awards Banquet?
Yeah, we're really excited. NHL announced their partnership, I want to say September of 15, so nearly 2 years ago, and for about a year and a half since, we've been discussing internally you know, different ways that we might want to change, enhance, keep the same elements within our jerseys. The great thing about the partnership with Adidas and NHL and each club is really they didn't force anything upon us. They let us, if we wanted to design anything internally or offer any recommendations, they allowed each club to do so. So we really sat down. You already mentioned his name, so I'd be remiss not to mention as well. But Doug, myself, and our graphic design teams were a big part of the discussions and looking at some options. And, you know, it's my first time working through any type of a potential new jersey. And it's a fun process because you critique every single little aspect, whether it's something that Adidas is introducing from just a technology and performance standpoint, towards some things that we're discussing internally if we wanted to change or keep the same. So it's a fun process, and it's going to be exciting to see after, you know, working on it for a good year and a half now.
I know we're all really excited. One rumor I've heard out there, wanted to ask you, the material, will they be silk?
No silk.
Ah, damn.
It's going to be, I know it's disappointing for many.
I was really hoping to have that, like, you know, early 90s rap video vibe, but... I guess not today. But I did want to ask you, because one thing that I have thought myself, and I've heard some other Canes fans talk about, is with the new jersey deals, the replica jerseys are going to be under the Fanatics label. And how that varies from, you know, always it's been the Reebok made the replica and the Authentics. Is there anything you can say to help us, like, put our minds at ease that it's going to be the same or good quality that we've always been used to on the replica jerseys? It just has a different name attached to it with the Fanatics versus Adidas versus Reebok.
Yeah. So there's actually going to be three different companies. So there's Adidas, which is making the authentic jerseys. And I don't know how much information I can release pricing wise, but it's actually priced relatively similar to what you've seen for replica jerseys through Reebok. There's also going to be Fanatics producing the replica jerseys, which we have not seen, to be quite honest with
you.
Okay. What we've been told is it's a little more form-fitting. So I think they're hoping that, whereas hockey jerseys you'll be often see out at the arenas, you don't necessarily see out in public much otherwise. They're hoping that this new form-fitting will allow fans to kind of show it off a little more without it being so loose and baggy. And there's another company called Outer Stuff that's going to be producing the youth replica jerseys.
Okay.
Interesting. Can you give us a tease, Mike? I mean, literally, I think only three people are going to listen to this. One of them is going to be my mom. I mean, and we promise that we won't promote this endlessly. Thanks, Mike. Give us a hint. Give us something. Give us something to chew on. Just a couple of days. Are the red jerseys still red? Blink twice if the warning flags are coming back.
I'm either blinking once or twice currently.
Good. And we had this entire prep before of going, no, we're not going to back Mike into a corner. And I just did it right there. That was awful of me. I feel like a horrible human being.
Well, I think you can redeem yourself.
I can give you one thing. I'm going to tease the fact that there are going to be more teasers coming in the next week. With some assets that the league is providing us, that Adidas is providing us, as well as some that we're producing internally. So I'm teasing that you will continue to be teased over the next week.
So will this be similar to the new Storm unveiling? Gosh, that was 4 years ago now, where there were different pieces and we were all trying to figure out how they come together. And I believe a grand total of zero people got it right.
Probably very similar.
Well, Mike, if I were to say, you know, it would be a great idea if the Canes marketing department came up with a place where, I don't know, 1,000 to 1,500 Caniacs could get together and see these new jerseys. Would that be an idea that you guys would potentially steal and try to leverage as your own?
That would be a phenomenal idea.
Next Friday, maybe?
Let's do it.
Okay, perfect.
I think we should just book it.
let's talk a little bit about the draft party, Mike. You guys have done an absolutely phenomenal job promoting the draft, and it's one of really the highlights of the summer after we get through our hockey final withdrawal. So tell us a little bit about what Caniac should be expecting this year at the Hurricanes draft party at PNC Arena.
Yeah, you know, first off, John Chase and his crew does a great job with the event itself. We just try to help promote it as much as possible. But at the event itself, you're going to be looking in the arena club as well. But with the phenomenal crowds we had last year, we're actually going to be expanding our footprint a little bit. So it's going to extend into the east and west priority lounges a little bit on the club level. So we're kind of moving the food out because that kind of created a little bit of a bottleneck last year. So those will be in those east and west lounges this year to create a little more open space in the arena club. You know, we're hoping to have, I say hoping because it's always a fluid situation, but the jerseys on display, as you guys referenced, will be a great opportunity for fans to check out the jersey, probably a very good chance to actually put on the new jersey, which would be great. And we're just excited to have, when you can have John and Mike Maniscalco and a lot of our great, you know, our public figures there. It's great interaction with our fan base. So we're looking forward to it.
I will say, you know, if this year's draft party at the arena is anywhere near half as much fun as last year's was, it'll be a hell of a good time. We all enjoyed it last year. And with the work you've mentioned that you're putting in of moving the food outside so it's not quite so cramped, I would imagine any Canes fan who is in Raleigh or the Raleigh area should go check that out. Another thing that we're all excited about is next year is the 20th anniversary of the Carolina Hurricanes. I'm sure you have some stuff in the slow cooker for that. Is there anything you can, you know, while we have you in the tease edition of this interview, that you could tease Canes fans with about this 20th anniversary?
Absolutely. We're going to be unveiling a logo very shortly that we designed internally. There's obviously a lot of significant dates coming up here very shortly in our Canes history. One of those dates we're taking advantage of as to release the logo and some initial details on our 20th anniversary campaign as a whole. It's going to be very, very soon. That's the best tease I can give. But there's a lot of aspects to it that we're really excited about. And I think it's going to be great for fans to not only reminisce some of the great times, but, you know, we're trying to find ways to combine it with this current team because we're as excited about this current team as any we've had in a long time. We're looking forward to it. I think everyone's gonna be excited with some of the elements within the campaign, and I think you guys are gonna enjoy what we're able to put out here shortly.
Well, I know we're excited to see this version of the 2017-2018 Carolina Hurricanes hit the ice. But before that, we have Summerfest and let's call it the Young Guns training camp, the development camp that's going to be coming up here shortly right after the draft. So tell the folks who are listening a little bit about what's planned for Summerfest. I think there is a huge equipment sale that kicks off the day and runs through just a phenomenal day of seeing this year's draft picks plus some of the young guys who we've drafted over the last couple of seasons.
Yeah, anyone that's been to it before knows that the access is incredible to the players at it. You have some really young guys attending. We'll have guys that will have just been drafted, you know, a week prior. So you're kind of getting a first look at them. But then on the day of Summerfest, there's going to be a ton of inflatables. There's going to be some great affordable food options. And then just, again, the access to the players, that's what probably makes these events so special because you can't really get that anywhere else.
So Mike mentioned the 2017-18 season, as you have as well, and some of the food and drink that happened. The homegrown series last year, I think, was, you know, an unequivocal hit among fans, and it seemed like the team seemed to love it as well. You know, as the beer guy of here, I know Mike and I both appreciate the food stuffs. Is that something that's going to happen again next season? Is there anything that's going to be built on top of that? What can we expect while roaming the concourses of the PNC Arena next year?
Homegrown will be back next year. So all right. I can say definitively. What we're meeting right now is we have found the past couple summers is a great time to meet as a full marketing department. So we have 23 staff members, including full-time and part-time staff members. To meet, and we try to tackle, you know, some larger campaigns. So we all have our work that we need to accomplish every day, but we want to add on that to enhance the fan experience. Last year, that was the birthplace of the Homegrown Series, were those meetings. So we're meeting again. We have over the past few months. We actually met today. Three topics that we're tackling this offseason. One is the 20th anniversary as a whole, so focusing on a lot of the elements, like I said, that we're going to release some initial details to here shortly. The second one is a young adult campaign. I don't like to use the term millennials very often, but
thank you.
It's not far off with what we're trying to do. We feel like we've you know, really targeted the families, and we've really targeted our season ticket base, who are you know, 40s and 50s for the most part. We feel like we've been missing that 20 and 30 demo. So what we're trying to tackle as a department is different avenues that can attract that demo, whether they're hockey fans or not hockey fans, Canes fans, a visiting team fan. What can we do to attract the 20s and 30-year-olds? So we're looking at different food offerings. We are looking at you know, ways to get brand ambassadors on each of the local college campuses. We're looking at a number of different avenues to make sure that we're hitting that demo. So really, we're not missing any demo at that point. And then the third one in these summer meetings is homegrown 2.0. So we are evaluating every aspect to it. Last year, we think, hopefully you guys agree, it was a huge success for year one. And we're evaluating each of those five pillars that we introduced, trying to find ways to enhance each of them, and also seeing if maybe there's a sixth or seventh pillar that we were missing. So we're currently meeting about those. Homegrown will be back, and hopefully bigger and better than ever.
I know we are very excited. You guys did an absolutely phenomenal job. So really kudos to you and your entire staff.
I do have one quick thing. I'm sorry. Mike, if when you're thinking about homegrown stuff, I know you guys cook a lot of ideas up in the lab for food items, and you guys had some really experimental things. I wouldn't be doing my job as half of the Cheaters Never Win podcast if I didn't recommend a food item that is beloved among our people. And that is corn dog nuggets.
They're noted.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Good. Word's out.
We might have to get a minimum purchase order from
that
you guys.
That will not be a problem.
I promise to return a fat mic if you get me corn dog nuggets in 328. So tired of Chris Flood lying to me saying he's going to
Mike Flood.
Whatever. Chef Flood.
You combine Chris Diamond, Mike Flood.
He's just corn dog nuggets. Bring out the ire. Mike Foreman, you have been a gentleman. We have asked you a lot of questions. You have been very teasery. You have been as forthcoming as we could ever have asked for someone in your position who has deadlines that they have to hit to get all of these things out. So to recap, New Jersey coming out, being announced next week.
Not made of silk.
He blinked once or twice about the warning flags. He confirmed that there will be a draft party that is going to be revised and better than last year, where you may or may not be able to not only see the New Jersey, but try on the New Jersey. There is going to be a Summerfest. Summerfest is going to be awesome. Homegrown Series is going to be back. Beer is going to be back. There is a 20th anniversary logo that's coming out in the very near future that's going to align up with all of these great things that are going to happen in return for our 20th anniversary season for the Carolina Hurricanes here in Carolina. Mike Foreman, you're a busy man. What are you doing still talking to us?
I just put down a 14-month-old baby, so I got all the time in the world.
I hear you. Well, you know, last question. We wouldn't be doing our job as local ambassadors of not only hockey, but of beer. We always love to hear what our great guests are enjoying. It's summertime. So when you put down the 14-month-old and you do have a few minutes to breathe, what are you cracking out of your beer fridge?
Yeah, I actually like the sours. I know that's divisive.
Yes!
But I am a big sour fan. I am a big Wicked Weed fan. I know they sold out a little bit. I know, I'm sorry. But that's probably where I like to kind of spend my summers on the porch with.
They make great beer. I cannot knock that.
And beer is good. Beer is tasty. We like beer. Carolina Hurricanes. We like Mike Foreman. And we like the fact that he's going to come back on the podcast and tell us things in the future, because we didn't completely back him into a corner this time. Next time, Mike,
no.
We've promised our listeners we're going to get you here in the studio, we're going to booze you up, and we're going to get answers. You've been warned.
You just tell me when, and I'm in.
You know what? I've got a 2-year-old. Bring the 14-month-old. We'll have a party. Awesome. Mike Foreman, Director of Marketing for your Carolina Hurricanes. Mike, thanks so much for taking some time out of your busy evening for us, sir. We will see you at the draft.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Foreman's a good dude.
Hell yeah.
That was fun.
I wish he described the jerseys in more detail, but, you know, he probably also enjoys employment.
Yes. Having a paycheck. Having a 14-year-old, 14-month-old, who eventually becomes a 14-year-old,
mm-hmm.
It's nice to have a paycheck.
Yes, yeah.
You know what also was nice to have, Derek?
What that?
Cheat mail, cheat mail, gotta go get some cheat mail.
Do you want the first question? You want me to ask it?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, sorry, I didn't know where we were going on that one. Here we go. This is a question from our buddy at K to the Arl. Timely. Thoughts on the Adidas jersey conversion. Do the Kane sweaters get better, worse, or stay the same?
Kane sweaters, I believe, are mostly the same. I don't think there are large, significant changes. I do think, again, the big change you're going to see this year is going to be a 20th anniversary patch. So I believe the patch will be an addition. I do not foresee the return of the warning stripe.
I don't either.
As much as we would like it, as much as I think it set us apart. I think the biggest change is if you look at what the World Cup of Hockey sweaters were, and I think they were beautiful, particularly that Team North America jersey. So, mm-hmm. so much sex that in good. That jersey. And the Trey Knorr jersey, also so beautiful. But, you know, small changes like the three stripes on the sleeve to represent the Adidas brand, hashtag brand. I think you're going to see those there. I think we're going to be happy with them. I think there's going to be a subset of Kaniac Nation who is going to be horribly disappointed, hoping that we were going to return to more of a quote-unquote traditional sweater. Now, the caveat I will put with that is the fact that this is the 20th anniversary season. If there were ever a time to do that throwback, it's your 20th anniversary season. So it's I'm gonna leave my answer okay. a little gray, but I think it's going to be mostly the same.
Agreed.
Ah, good. That's that right there, Derek. Quality content. This one coming from our bud, our bud at Canes Net Front. He is off season, Matt. When is the best round for the Canes to take a goalie in? There are tons of goalies in round two or three, but is that too soon?
Obviously, I mean, the big variable is it depends on who's there. I don't know the goaltending prospects all that well. I want to say we have two picks in the second and three in the third or something like that.
Well, we gave up one of our third round picks for Scott Darling.
Okay, that's right, because then we have one in the fourth or something. Probably a third. Yeah, why not? A third. And I'm not the best person to ask if Kane's Prospects is listening and wants to chime in with his thoughts on that. Please do. But I'll just say a third round pick because from what Pat said before on this podcast was, and I'm not a baseball fan either, but goaltending is a lot like starting pitching in baseball. If you have 10, you may end up with one. So it can't be too bad to keep refilling that goaltending pipeline because you never know who's going to pan out late or who is going to just completely fall off the face of the earth.
Hey, good to see you, Daniel Altshuler. And yes, goaltending is voodoo. You take goaltending in the third and seventh round, hoping you find the next Matt Murray.
This is from our buddy Dane at Lion Tamer 80. Have you guys heard any talk of another checkers game at the PNC Arena this coming season? It's been a few years.
Would have been a great thing to talk about with Mike Foreman. I have heard nothing about the checkers coming back to PNC Arena, and I think it's unlikely again this year. As many of you know, the checkers moved out of Spectrum Cable Arena that they shared with the Charlotte Bobcats this past season and moved their games back to the Bojangles Coliseum.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the fact that they are getting all that revenue from those games and they want to deliver value to their season ticket holders mean it's going to be at least two seasons before they want to sacrifice a home game outside of the confines of Bojangles Coliseum.
The Greasy Bobo Coliseum.
That Greasy Bobo. Give me that Boberry Pie. I don't think we're going to see the checkers for at least one more season. In other checkers news, Ulf Samuelson no longer coach. Ron Francis currently
Boo.
Looking for a coach for the Charlotte Checkers. I think this is interesting. Ulf Samuelson was an assistant with the Rangers,
mm-hmm.
came to the Checkers for one season of head coaching experience, performed fairly admirably from everything I had heard. and then went back to the National Hockey League to be an assistant. Everything I heard was he came to this club to get head coaching experience to be a head coach,
mm-hmm.
and then fell right back into being an assistant coach. So my thought is this. Did Ulf Samuelsson not like being a head coach, or did Ulf Samuelsson not see his path back with the Checkers? It's going to be interesting for us to get Ulf Samuelsson back on this podcast for the first time.
I was going to say, back?
Yeah, sort of, maybe.
Or is there anything with a is there any sort of succession plan with the Q stash?
Ooh, maybe. No,
I mean he's not that old, but you never know. Sometimes he just wants to Bob Stoops it and call it a day.
Potentially. So we shall find out. So let's go here to I don't know. Let's go to our friend and also local media member Andrew Schnitaker, who writes for Technician. Who among the Section 328 crew snores?
It is not me most of the time. On occasion, I do snore, but not for the most part.
No, Derek, that's incorrect. The correct answer is Canalytics, because all bad things come from advanced stats.
Easy, Bugner. While we're talking things that may happen in Chicago, got a question here from, where the hell is it? At Kohler K08. What is the greater number? Beers per person, later clarified per day, consumed in Chicago by Section 328 team, or draft picks that Canes use?
That is a great question, Derek. I'm going to defer that question. Okay. I'm actually going to defer that question to what we are now lovingly referring to as the Drunken Podcast. As many of you may have heard us talk about, one of our inspirations for pulling this podcast together was the Merrick versus Wyshynski podcast. Jeff Merrick of Sportsnet, Greg Wyshynski of Yahoo Sports, the Puck Daddy blog, kind of inspired us to originally kick this thing off. And it was famously done, I believe, in the 2012 season, where Greg made his first appearance on TSN, or Sportsnet at the time, and was providing some draft coverage. And after the trade deadline day, the boys got together to record a podcast, but it had potentially maybe a pop or two.
Mm-hmm.
Lovingly became known as the Drunken Podcast. And we have threatened over many, many years to do a very similar event. And we have now committed to you, our loyal listeners, that we are going to do this Drunken Podcast, which is going to be 1, 2, 6, 12 beers in somewhere. We're going to perform this Drunken Podcast after the first round of the National Hockey League entry draft in Chicago. And it's not going to be just Derek and I. It's going to be pretty much your core Section 328 crew who's been here for the last couple of seasons, save some of the new additions. So it'll be the two of us.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be our beloved wordsmith, Tom Edwards, a.k.a. at Mr. Workrate. It will be analytics expert.
The recently besmirched at Canalytics.
At Canalytics. And it will also be at Canes Prospects, none other than Pat Clark himself. So the five of us will be in Chicago together, and we will deliver unto you, after the first round of the National Hockey League entry draft, a podcast where we may have been consuming beverages for the better part of the afternoon,
mm-hmm.
and definitely the better part of the evening. How do you listen to that podcast? Do you go to iTunes? Do you go to Podomatic?
You do not.
No. There's going to be one place you do. In order to have access to this and to figure out exactly what's going to be our advanced beer drinking stats, we'll go through our Beerwick. We'll go through our Bursey.
It was Beersey and Boozewick.
Yes, Beersey and Boozewick, to find out who has the most and best advanced beer drinking analytics, as Oliver so politely pointed out to us on kind of the internal 328 team thread today. I think it really matters how many good shots get through.
Always key.
Always key. That's such a good joke. But if you want the answer to that, you need to be able to download the Drunken Podcast. How do you do that? You have to be a Patreon member. It's going to be a limited edition only to folks who are on Patreon. Do you have to do $100 a month? No. All you have to do is be Patreon. $1, one time. If you were a Patreon member before we leave the beautiful ground of Raleigh, North Carolina, RDU Airport for Chicago, if you have subscribed to Patreon by next Thursday, you will gain access to the Drunken Podcast.
Actually, anytime you do it, you will get access. That I think that's how Patreon works, but why not get it the first time you can?
Right. Gain access.
You want those chuckles the minute you can.
And we're going to be sharing all sorts of fun with the entire team. So if you want to know our advanced beer drinking stats, patreon.com/section328 or section328.com. Go over to Patreon. $1. Donate $1 to the Patreon. Gain access to that hashtag content that we're probably not going to be really proud of, but we've promised you and we're going to deliver it. All right, Derek, last question from this microphone. This is one from our friend Mark Lemke. He is at @Dare_Lemke on the Twitters. I believe I've got that right. Oh, yeah. He asked, what are your thoughts on Full Steam Brewery?
I really like Full Steam. I love the fact that their owner, Sean Wilson, headed up the Pop the Cat movement, which was now 11 years ago, that let North Carolina sell beers over 6% alcohol. So we can drink all kinds of delicious beers. And then I love the fact that Full Steam has cans of good beers that are great to drink every day. They do really cool stuff like their Forager series that I forget if it's been renamed or not, where they have a lot of local fruits like persimmons and things that I've never heard of, like pawpaws. And they put them in beers and I go, man, that's really damn good. And now I want to go eat a pawpaw and find out what that tastes like. Really love Full Steam. Love their beers. And
for the record, my pawpaw tastes like sawdust.
Just going to walk away from that one, Mike. Thank you. And thanks to Mark's question, I was inspired because I saw that and I was like, you know what? I don't know that I've reviewed a Full Steam beer on this podcast in quite a while. Oh God, they also make First Frost and then they age that in bourbon barrels. God, that's good.
So good.
Look forward to that this winter. But I went out and I just picked up a can of a Full Steam beer that I hadn't had before. This is their Lucky Straw Farmhouse Ale. As all of their packaging, it's got a really cool vintage look. They're all about, it says on the can here, empowering farms in a post-tobacco North Carolina. Love their mission. Love what they do with their beers. This one's 5.5%. Farmhouse ales, I'm not the best one to describe them, but they're light to medium in body, light to medium in color. Typically a little bit funky if you know like the Saison style. There's often a little bit of tartness to them, a little bit of malt. This one is an unfiltered style farmhouse ale, which I think all farmhouse ales should be. Get a little bit of that tartness, a little bit of apricot kind of sensation that I get from it on the nose and the palate. It's smooth. It's easy. There's that little bit of funk that I think from a farmhouse, I don't know if it's open fermented or not, but really like the taste on this beer. It's easy to drink. It's, about $11 for a sixer. It's good beer. It's good local beer. And really love what Full Steam's doing. So thank you for the question, Mark. You gave me an opportunity to talk about a really great local brewery. And there's a lot of great local breweries around here. So yeah, drink up all the North Carolina beer you wish.
Derek, I will add in for my money, Full Steam Kakalaki, absolutely one of my favorite summer beers. That little hint mm-hmm. of ginger in that beer.
Great sushi beer, too.
Oh, my God. Great sushi beer. Just overall a great, great drink. So this has been a long podcast. Thank you guys for listening. We do appreciate it. We know we talked a lot about Amazon and Patreon and all that stuff kind of there in the middle, but we do appreciate it. We appreciate you guys. We have a lot of fun doing this. This is, as we wind down the coverage of the National Hockey League draft and kind of free agency frenzy, that will kind of be the end of our hockey year, and we'll take the better part of a month or so off and come back to you rejuvenated as the Canes prepare for camp. But none of this would be possible without you, our listeners. Otherwise, we would just be getting together, drinking beer, and talking into microphones for absolutely no reason, which is really the reason we kind of started this whole thing in the first place.
Four full seasons ago.
It started with two good friends who really just wanted the opportunity to get together and make sure that we had a reason to talk hockey and drink beers every week. And the fact that you guys actually listen to us still shocks and amazes us yeah. on a daily basis. And the fact fact that we get to have good friends like Workrate and Ain't Canalytics and Meg and Raleigh Monkey and Pat kind of join us on this journey really fills our hearts. So we know we talk a lot of crap, and we really kind of pumped out a lot of the hey, support us stuff tonight. But we do want to say thank you because the next time we talk to you, we will be coming to you live from Chicago, and that will be due to the support we have received over the last 270 days from you, our core friends.
Also want to point out, while a lot of us from 328 will be in Chicago for the draft, we will have some of the 328 family at the draft party at the PNC Arena. So I know Meg at Love and Hydrogen and JC at JC Bobbitt.
And Raleigh Monkey.
And Raleigh Monkey will all be there at the arena. So, see them, hang out with them, say hello. So we'll be represented there as well in Chicago. But Mike, I echo everything you said. Really thank everybody for listening. It is still weird that people enjoy what we do, but we love it because we enjoy it, and we are so glad that you do as well.
So thank you guys for listening. We look forward to coming to you next time, live and direct from Chicago, hopefully with some great guests before the draft. And then after the draft, we will have the Patreon exclusive The Drunken Podcast. Lots of coverage coming to you live from Chicago. Rumor has it we might be at Summerfest. So those of you who are planning on coming out to Summerfest, come out, say hi. But until then, and until next time, which we will be coming to you from the Windy City, my name's Mike.
This is Derek.
We are out of here.
Yeah!